This is tape 5, side 2 of The Impersonal Actor. Love Scenes. Not long ago, an actress had a meeting with one of the casting figures for one of the big Hollywood soaps. She had a reading for this person and was complimented afterward, and this is about how it went. "That was a very good reading, and I liked it, and it was very natural and everything, but," said the casting director, "in soap operas, you have to show your feelings much more than we do in real life. There has to be much more eyes. We have to see all of your emotions much more. It's all got to be seen. It can't be subtle. It's a different level of acting," said the executive. "Ask your coach. He'll tell you." It brings to mind the memorable words of an early French film director who worked in Hollywood in the time immediately after the silent film era. "No big eyes," he would say to his actors in his thick French accent, who by now were used to emoting outrageously, "no big eyes." The casting director continued, "You have to understand, you have to give our audience absolutely everything, because, well, basically they're stupid. That's just the way it is. You've got to show them everything." That is a near quote. I want you to imagine for a moment, if you will, that you are a jeweler or a painter, or a social worker, or a doctor, or a lawyer, or a psychiatrist, or a teacher, or a physicist, or a writer, or yes, even an actor. And you get up in the morning, and you go to work, and the people to whom you are providing the product, whether it's a service or goods, you despise. You think they are inferior to you. You hold them in low esteem. You endure their ignorance, their lack of education. Because you're going to collect on them every week, you determine that you can't help them, you can only sell to them. So you reduce yourself to the level you perceive is sellable to them, and that is the product you produce. You take your paycheck and you go home. Now, understand, there are many actors working in soap operas who endeavor every day to provide a product suitable for the most knowledgeable of all possible viewers, and many others who are capable of doing and would like to do their best, but have been convinced to do otherwise by the negative thinking of certain persons, be they teachers, directors, casting personnel, or other actors, whose belief in emotionalism in the work have adversely affected the product for quite some time. A soap opera star recently vented his anger and frustration to me in a session that he could not do the work he desired to do because the audience was so stupid that they had to be spoon-fed everything. That's a quote. He was angry. He was, in fact, quite capable of doing excellent work. So his work was a bit bigger, more caricatured, black and white, less issue-oriented, less subtle, maybe too loud or too pronounced, too facial, spelled out, if you will. If you do your very best, truthful, subtle, intelligent work, then every level of thinking is served. Persons of a middle or lower middle-level income do not desire inferior work from the nation's body of professional actors. Your employer wants his audience to be moved, to keep watching, and to buy the products the sponsor is advertising. Now, what, you ask, has all of this to do with love scenes? It has to do with the idea that drama is about conflict, when what it's really about is love. There was a scene on a soap recently between two of the romantic leads on the show. They were supposed to be in a dramatic up-and-down relationship, as most soap operas portray. But these two were not just two people who loved one another but were having a hard time making it all come together. These two evidently loathed one another with every fiber of their being. The way he said the line, "I only love you, don't you know that," was done as though she'd just killed his mother. The way she said the line, "I've never loved anyone but you," was delivered with a vitriolic fervor worthy of Camus' Caligula. Why were they making a hate scene out of a love scene? Well, for two reasons. Basically, first, because of the reasons we've just discussed in detail. Secondly, because they had no faith in the potential dramatic impact of a well-acted love scene. And that's just exactly what we're going to go into now. The great number of all scenes between a man and a woman are love scenes. So are most scenes between friends, siblings, and many scenes between business partners. What is a love scene? For dramatic purposes, a love scene is a scene between two persons wherein at least one of them, with the lines provided, is offering the other with solutions to problems, personal compliments, or gifts, real or symbolic. You'll notice that there's nothing in that definition about romance. Romance is something that, you guessed it, develops in the mind of the audience. There are basically six categories of love scenes.
A love scene where the behaviors are in common. A love scene where the behaviors are in contrast. A flirtation scene. A one-sided love scene. A last love scene or goodbye scene. And an argument scene, which is not a fight.
Let's start with this last category first, as so often it is conflict which is erroneously featured in the acting of love scenes. What generally goes wrong with a passionate love scene is that, ironic as it may sound, it's acted with hostility. So prevalent is the thinking that acting is constituted of played-out conflict that even when we should be seeing two people doing all that they can to come together, often what we see portrayed is two characters apparently trying to break apart. The effect is incorrectly believed to be dramatic. Often, in a passionate love scene where a couple is not seeing eye to eye, but desire to, there are heated exchanges where one is offering one solution to whatever the problem and the other is offering a different solution. If in the writing, in the end of the scene, the two come together, we have what's generally thought of as a makeup scene. But the trap in thinking of it this way is to think that what preceded this was a fight scene, rather than what actually occurred, for at least our dramatic purposes, an argument scene. For dramatic purposes, an argument is a passionate exchange with the intent of achieving unity. Let me repeat that. An argument is a passionate exchange with the intent being to achieve unity. Now, that does not mean that unity will be achieved. That depends on the writing. What it means is that you, the actor, with the lines provided, desires agreement upon an unresolved issue. While passionate, he or she desires agreement, not disagreement. Fights come after or instead of arguments. They're not the same thing. Dramatic time is condensed, whether on stage or on screen. Each scene has a purpose, and it is salient moments which are featured in the writing. An argument is important because it establishes something wrong but which both parties wish to be fixed. A fight is important because it heralds the end of a relationship. One fight in real life does not necessarily mark the probable end of a relationship, but one fight in the short time span of a play or film does. You see? Here are the potential traps in thinking that lines in an argument like, quote, "I do want you to work. You stopped working 2 years ago, and I've been trying to get you back to it ever since," unquote, is not a punishment, but is instead to be acted as an intense solution to the problem of her present low self-esteem. That is, not a chastisement, but rather as a passionate solution to the misunderstanding. You see what I mean? What is not part of a solution is part of a fight. A line, "Why do you do this to me?" is not to be acted as an attack against a lover, like, "Where do you get off?" But again, is a passionate proposal for her to do otherwise. As though the line were actually written with the words, "Think how things would be for us if only you would stop this behavior." Of course, the point is that writers are not going to write that line. It's awkward, and too reasonable, and just doesn't do what "Why do you do this to me?" does. But the sentiment to be communicated is not the accusatory and self-piteous one implied by the words, "Why do you do this to me?" The sentiment to be communicated passionately is the solution, "Do otherwise." You see the difference? So now we move to the simple exercise which will change how you play an argument scene. Quickly and passionately, but with the intent to fix, say the key line, "Do otherwise. Do this now." Now, with exactly that same passionate essence and quality, say the line, "Why do you do this to me?" All right, some of you are saying, "But that's not real enough. My character is more deeply affected than that. My character is not that logical or reasonable. My character is angry, resentful, bitter, and petty. That's what people love about him." First of all, it's very real for people who have any hope of working things out. And secondly, it will not only be dramatic enough, it will be more dramatic, for the passion will have sprung from hope, not from hurt. What people will love about your characters is that they can be angry, resentful, bitter, and petty, and still be capable of loving and of being loved. Their darker traits will have no meaning, dramatically speaking, if they have no redeeming qualities. And the redeeming quality everyone identifies with is the capability to love and be loved. Now, your dark character may well fail at love, but should not fail at it because he doesn't want love or is not capable of some love, but because he cannot be loving enough. You see, if we don't care for the characters we're watching, for one reason or another, we have nothing at stake in their resolving their problems and overcoming their challenges. There is nothing dramatically important about watching two people who supposedly love each other hacking away at each other. Two people who are hacking away at one another are in the process of a fight. That is, they are actually cutting away at the bonds which connect them. That is not to say that there are not some people who do this to one another with regularity, perhaps, and still remain in some kind of relationship. But stressed is the term "some kind of relationship," for it is not a loving relationship. It can be called an unfortunate relationship, or an ongoing relationship, or just a relationship. It might even make an interesting true story of two famous people who tortured one another, a perverse, perhaps worthy historical amusement. But fictional stories about abusive relationships, which are not about famous people, have no dramatic impact in and of themselves, and usually these stories are thrillers about people trying to get out from underneath said burden with the help of a hero with whom there is a loving relationship. From a business point of view, it's only loving relationships which are starring relationships, for they are going somewhere. That is, they're going to work out, or they're not. They have legs. Relationships without love that just go on and on for the sake of convenience, for the sake of children, or for the sake of money or social status are going nowhere and are not stories of dramatic interest. So the first thing for you to change in your mind and in your work is the idea that a passionate exchange between people in a dramatically loving relationship is a fight. Know that for the purposes of acting these exchanges, you will be thinking of them as arguments. Remember, dramatic time is condensed time. What this means is that if you're playing what you think is a fight between a couple, but that couple remains together in the end of the play in a relationship that is actively loving, not one merely resigned to a life of days together, then what you actually have to play here, in all probability, is an argument rather than a fight, because their passionate exchange has not dissolved the bonds between them. The exchange was not intended to dissolve the bonds between them, but rather to resolve an immediate problem or to immediately resolve an ongoing problem. Now, that is in no way saying that what we're going to see go down is something soft and without fire or fury. Argument scenes between two lovers, business partners, siblings are likely to be quite hot. But that's because so much is at stake, not because wounds are opened and hurt feelings are paraded about. So when we see passionate exchanges between two people, acted where one or both of the participants is aiming personal material at the other, punishing the other, chastising the other, rather than offering potential fixes, then we know we're either watching a fight scene, one predicting or enforcing the eventual end of a relationship, or the scene is being acted incorrectly and should in fact be acted as an argument. Most of the scenes we see incorrectly acted as fight scenes are actually passionate love scenes. Friends and partners will not have one another's love as an issue. For them, the issue at odds may be work or politics or money or whatever. But the relationship between them must be based on wanting to work things out. And we perceive that that energy exists between people when we see them thinking of the lines provided as gifts, compliments, and solutions. Let's look at an example of a couple in trouble. The woman, certain the man is cheating on her, the man claiming the woman is not loving enough to him. The scene often rapidly deteriorates into a hate scene, with both characters accusing each other and making the attacks personal and vindictive. If the couple in the script breaks up shortly thereafter, or in the near future, there might well be a vehement exchange of personal material, a fight. Further, if the future of a child is involved, this may require them to remain in one another's immediate proximity far longer than for which either has a tolerance. But fighting will be short-lived. It's probable that in an argument feelings get hurt. But things are not said with the intention of hurting. If it's an argument scene and your wife says that you've just hurt her very deeply, that doesn't mean that what your character just said was delivered personally at all. In fact, a likely occurrence is one in which the effect is far more insensitive than cruel, in which the husband offers a solution, which the wife deems a kind of betrayal. Hence his expression, "What did I say?" Therefore, two things. 1. A. If the script says the scene gets ugly, then it's a short scene or it gets ugly in spurts. Or B, if the scene has some length, it doesn't get ugly until the very end of the scene, often after an argument. 2. If it is a long scene, which does not end in a fight, there probably never was a fight. Always more moving than the exchange of personal material is the passionate exchange of that something which is far, far bigger than personalities, that, of course, being issues. Yes, people get mean and nasty. Do you sit and take it? Why would you think the writer would have your character take it? With this one exception, that one could actually not leave, and if that's the case, it's going to likely turn into a fight. Here, then, is your workable, logical conclusion. If your character is taking it, it must be because it's dished out so that he can take it, or else he has to take it. If they stay together, they make it work. It may be an explosive situation, but explosive because the issues are so big between two people who love each other. So now for the acting of the scene with our couple in trouble. While the scene is indeed hot, it's because each one believes that what the other is doing is wrong, not that their persons are wrong. Therefore, the issues in our example above of supposed infidelity and unrequited love translate into the bigger issue of right and wrong, or further distilled to one of justice. Since we know that each participant thinks the other is wrong, this is exactly what is not to be acted. Remember, we don't act what is already known, but rather to be acted is how each of them passionately addresses what the other should instead be doing. Therefore, the wife addresses passionately the extreme and immediate need for him to be faithful and good to her, to do otherwise. And the husband addresses passionately the extreme and immediate need for her to love him more truly, to do otherwise. It is still passionate, but it is not a fight, it is an argument. This, then, is a truly watchable, embraceable passion, which both speaks of their love, therefore creating a history in the audience's mind, and moves. A hopeful passion which refrains from accusation and a simple value judgment. And it is no accident that this kind of non-accusatory passion is not promoted in general in acting, because there are those who want and desire the drawing of simple emotionalism, because that is supposedly the easy thing for our less than intelligent audiences to understand. So in this new way of working, our characters become large people rather than petty people, and we can see, indeed feel, why they can make it work in what will most certainly be a very emotional but fulfilling and hopeful scene. We will also perceive the costs to them and their need for one another by the degree to which they desire to fix the situation, not by the degree to which they desire to destroy it. Quite frankly, it takes some practice to get it right between too nice and not frank enough, and too angry and not courageous enough. It takes practice to be able to relate passionately about issues, about what someone is doing rather than about who they are. But the payoff is huge. As you get better and better at it, the technique is to, while you are passionately playing the scene, to be consciously thinking that your intention, your character's intention, is to fix the problem, not make it bigger. You'll be well on your way. Different from the argument scene,
the love scenes, in contrast, make up the bulk of love scenes.
Often mistaken as an argument, it is in fact an exchange of ideas. Very simply, it's a scene in which two people who love one another cannot agree upon either the agenda or how to proceed on an agreed-upon agenda. It is neither an argument nor a fight, but can precede both of these.
But unlike the passionate exchange in an argument scene, in the love scene in contrast,
there is no assertion that anything is seriously broken and needs to be fixed, only that each is offering that there's a better way to proceed. And that can be anything from an open debate whether chocolate is a better way to go than vanilla, to whether eloping is better than a big ceremony, from who's going to do the dishes to what to do with the old folks at home. They usually have humor and wit, and is almost always what's going on between two people who really like each other and are trying to work something out. You see a lot of encouraging, albeit one to do one thing and the other to do another, and the making of good ideas, which are then topped by better ideas, and lots of jokes and humor. These are often early scenes between lovers-to-be, or later scenes between exes, or business partners, or very good friends. A good key line for these scenes is to say the expression, "What do you think?" before or after your line.
The love scenes in common
are commonly thought of as romantic scenes because there's a lot of agreement about agendas and procedures. Consequently, they have a tendency to get a bit mushy. If they get mushy, they get unreal. If they get unreal, they will not move the secret viewer. In this case, the audience will perceive romance, but of an earthy and very real nature, if the little gifts, compliments, and solutions that meet do so with humor and knowing and with a total lack of naivete. By a knowing, we mean a grown-up sexual knowing that lacks anything about it that is naive. Love is knowing, not stupid. And if it's blind love, then it's blind to the deeper implications. But it is not silly and shallow. Teenagers in love have about them a very adult air. If we call it naive, it's because we know they do not perhaps appreciate the ramifications. When we say little gifts and compliments, it's of a quality that isn't cute or sweet, or of a quality which is patronizing in any way, and so is in fact acutely frank. It's the difference between saying, "You look great," and "You look great." The one-sided love scene will be recognized in the writing by one person offering solutions, gifts, or compliments, and the other responding with none of these, but that of ending the scene or trying to end the scene. It will be found in both comedy and drama. A flirtation scene is a show of courtship, a mutual trading of defiant little compliments and witty little indictments like, "Are all your neckties historical artifacts?" Or, "You should get out more often, you're a little rusty." Or, "Gee, you clean up nicely," all of which imply criticism, but which are actually compliments between persons who like one another immediately. In a goodbye love scene, care is taken to show that each will be okay, and often amidst tears, the writing has one or both having considerable humor about their own limitations as the cause for the end of the relationship, so as to allay the other's culpability. Finally, it all boils down to this. Look for the love in the ruins, not for the ruins in the love. The greats all know about and knew about love in the work, and humor and irony and implication and intelligence, but most of all, about love. In review. 1. In fact, almost all scenes are love scenes of one kind or another. 2. There are basically 6 kinds of love scenes to be found in the following order of frequency in writing.
A love scene where the behaviors are in common. A love scene where the behaviors are in contrast. An argument scene. A flirtation scene. A one-sided love scene. And a goodbye scene.
3.
The love scene in contrast
is literally the most numerous simply because we humans find it dramatically pleasing to watch people who love each other, but who do not yet see eye to eye, finally reach a state of harmony or fail in so trying. It is precisely because of this that we do not endeavor to act the conflict between them, but rather the attempt to make it happen. 4. In a love scene of any kind, you'll find no matter the condition of the characters involved, if you will faithfully act that what your character is communicating is intended as a fix to an existing problem, even if it looks for all the world like the opposite, the scene will unfold as it should, regardless of the emotional context, and because of it, with considerable wit, irony, and intelligence. 5. Relationships cannot be acted, but they can be perceived to the extent to which we, the audience, think that the characters know one another's minds. 6. All the greats knew it. Find the love in a scene, and the drama will take care of itself. This is the end of tape 5, side 2 of The Impersonal Actor. We'll continue our discussions on tape 6.